So we're going to do something a little different today. Y'all okay with that? Y'all okay with that?
Yes.
Holy cow. So every now and again, something happens where God just really gets a hold of you, and then he provides an opportunity for you to really act out on what he's called you to do. You ever had anything like that happen to you? Wow. This lady right here did, and she was so moved by this that she felt that God had called her to just give the testimony of how you can make an impact on somebody's life in such an important way.
You know that the Lord has blessed my family, and the Lord has been my Savior for a long time. And after going to Pastor Kevin's discipleship class, I just really wanted to share that with somebody. I just wanted to share the love of God with somebody. I work at home. I don't see a lot of people. And I really admire those people who can share the gospel with somebody in the line at Walmart. And before they pick up the receipt, they've already made a profession of faith. But I don't think that fast. So I began to just pray that the Lord would send somebody to me that I could share the love of God with. I told the Lord, I said, you know how much I love you. And I just want to share that with somebody. I just want to tell somebody how much God has done for me in my life. And I said, if you will just send me somebody. But I said, you'll have to make it obvious. I said, because I'll make excuses, I'll second guess myself, you're going to have to say it loud. So I'm driving on Bowman, I'm going south, it was about 3 weeks ago, it was one of those really cold, nasty days. And in the distance, I see somebody walking towards me, and I think, I wonder, is this my opportunity? Because there's no cars. I don't even know why this person is out there on this day. As I get closer, I notice it's a young woman. She has no coat on. She has thin yoga pants. She has her arms wrapped around herself. Her face is red. Her nose is red. And the Lord said, that's her. And I said, I have to turn around. There's no place to turn around. She probably won't get in the car. She'll be scared of me. The Lord said, that's her. I said, okay, I'm turning around. So I turned around. I drove up in front of her, and I said, do you need a ride somewhere? So she gets in the car, and after I find out why she's there, make sure she's all right, I began to share the gospel with her. I said, where do you need to go? And she said, well, I need to go to my dad's in Hoopston. But if you can't take me all the way, take me as far as you can. And I said, I'll take you to Hoopston. Little did she know, she was stuck in a car with a woman who had been praying for 3 days to share the gospel with somebody. So we start on our way, and that's what I did. I just asked her questions about why she was there, where she went to church. I shared with her my faith, how much God has blessed me. I asked her about what she was going to do. I told her where Ridgeview was, how to get there, where the landmarks were. And so we got to her dad's house, and I'd like to say that she made a profession of faith right there in the car, but she didn't. But as I left, I thought, wow, what just happened? What just happened? I prayed for 3 days that the Lord would send me somebody to share with, and he did it. He used me. He did it. He used me.
Amen.
And with God's help, I want to do it again.
Amen. All it takes is one, just one. And you know, we've been, you know, as we try to work through what this church looks like in the future, one of the things that we are making a priority is knowing who Christ is, growing in Christ, and then going for Christ, even if it's to Hoopston, right? Hey, man, people in Hoopston need to be saved too, right? So this week we're going to start talking about what this vision looks like in going for Christ. I didn't bring luggage, sorry. But going for Christ, it's kind of intimidating, as Pam has testified to. It's hard. A lot of times it is, you know, we just don't understand the word, right? You guys ever, you've heard the word go before. If you were a kid, it was go to your room. If it's my wife, it's honey, go to your room. No, that's what she says. That's what she tells me. Don't think I, no, that's what she tells me, honey. That word go is really kind of big for two letters. You know, it's a verb, right? Guys, if you don't, we've got a fifth grade grammar teacher over here who can help you with your grammar. Go. You know, that if you look up the word go, there's 29 different definitions for this word. 29. It's no wonder we struggle with trying to figure out what go means. I saw Joe here again this week, and I told him I'd wrote him into my sermon, and you know, and I was kind of like, I have to change it now, because you weren't supposed to be here this week, and so, but you are. I'm glad. But being a verb, go is a word that forces us to action. It means us move. You know, one of the definitions I hear most, being a pastor who's traveled across the country, you know what go means to me? It means you need to find the next rest area. Anybody ever been on the road, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Truck stops do count. But when Jesus said, go and make disciples, he means for us to go. And in the course of that word means us to take a certain course or to proceed without delay. And in other words, his go is actually him sending us. One of the things that, and you can correct me later, but don't do it right now, okay? When NASA fixes to fire off any kind of anything into space, they run through mission control and they have a whole bunch of people in charge with all the different systems, and they run down this checklist, dang, 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 dang. And every time they say something, somebody says, go. And that word go actually gives us something awesome. It means it's safe to proceed. It means we can move forward with everything else because it's okay. It's safe. I look at our community right now, and I look at the stuff that's going on in the world, and I'm thinking to myself, the church has lost its influence because of our inability to go. We have ceded our responsibilities as followers of Jesus Christ to governments, hoping that they'll legislate morality. We have ceded our obligations to the mission field to NROs. Do you guys know what NROs are? Non-religious organizations. We partner with organizations like Samaritan Purse, right? And they do incredible work. But I don't see them working here. I don't see them working in our neighborhood. I don't see them working amongst our communities. And let's be honest with ourselves. Our communities are suffering. They're suffering right now. And so I ask, are we, as the body of Christ, as the church, as individual Christians, as believers, are we doing enough? Are we being Christ's representatives to our community beyond Sundays. I mean, his word tells us this, and this comes from Isaiah. He says, I am the Lord. And he says, I have called us into righteousness, and I will take you by the hand, and I will keep you. And I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light. Listen to this. He says, and I will make a covenant with the people. You will be a light to the nations. Us. A light to the nations. To open the eyes of the blind. To bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. To open the cells of those who sit in darkness. As we begin our journey today, I want to open up. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to start, like Pastor Joe said, we're going to be in chapter 9, and we're going to look at the sending of the 12. But I want us to pray real quick, and then we're going to move out. Jesus sends out the 12. Father God, Lord, we just come before you today thanking you. Thanking you for this opportunity, Lord. To sit in your house and worship you. Lord, to find out what you require of us. So many times, Lord, we just focus on trying to be humble. And yet, Lord, you want more from us. You want that humility to translate, Lord, into hands and feet. To be the ones, Lord, who see the stranger, the sojourner in our land, and to love them and to care them and to pick them up and take them. To stop, Lord. To stop and see through your eyes. So God, as we unpack your word today, Lord, help us to lay aside all those things that we thought about when we came in here today, that we will move beyond just Sunday. Let us be about kingdom work. Lord, help to guide us. Call in your spirit, Lord, now to fill us up, Lord, so that as we unpack this scripture, the word will be made truth, Lord, and it will fill us up, Lord, with what we need to know. And all this I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 9. And that's on the thin side of the Bible, too, by the way, in case you know. In my book, it's on page 968. I don't know what it is on yours, but mine's the only one that counts. You can swipe right. Swipe up, right? Swipe up. Are you swiping up or swiping right? Jesus sends out the 12, Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. And he says, he called the 12 together, and he gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. And then he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money. Do not have two tunics. And whatever house you enter, stay there from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave the town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed, and they departed. They went through the villages preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. That's an awesome passage. But what I want to show you out of this three passages, and Joe kind of talked about it a little bit, said take nothing, right? So one thing I want to show you today, I want to talk to you about how God empowers us, how God sustains us, and then why those two things should call us to be committed to what he's called us to do. So let's start with empowerment. It says he called the 12 together and he gave them power and authority over all the demons to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. These guys had been following Jesus for a while. Right? They had been there and they had seen the miracles. They had seen him calm the storms. They had seen him cast out demons. They had seen the woman who had been bleeding for 12 years and the healing of the synagogue ruler's daughter, Jairus. They had seen all this. And I wonder what time, man, you know, there's times that I sit back and I think about it. I read all these miracles and I'm like, I wonder what it would have been like to be a follower of Christ back then, right? You get up in the morning and you're like, dude, did you believe yesterday? I can't wait to see what's going to happen today. #Jesus. Hashtag miracle. Hashtag Messiah. Yeah? Can you believe it? Dude, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see this. And then all of a sudden, one day he calls you up and says, hey, yo. Today is the day. Y'all been watching long enough. It's time to go. What? What? You, me? You want to use me? Yeah. I'm going to send you out. I imagine that if he looked at me and said that to me, I'm pretty sure my first thoughts wouldn't have been, yes. But he sent them out in pairs because he knew ministry's hard to do on your own. It's why we work together, right? So we can build each other up and so we can encourage each other. Listen to what he says in Mark chapter 6. He says, he called the 12 and he began to send them out two by two. Because see, there's times when each of us get frustrated when we're trying to figure out how to serve God. We get on each other's nerves. And then when we're and you got nobody there to pick you up. Got nobody there to help you. Nobody here that understands. Nobody there that's going through the same things that you're going through. And so he equipped them. He equipped them to go. He said, I'm giving you all the power and all the authority that you need. Go into the communities. Do what I've called you to do. This church, man, we've been blessed over this past year, right? We have seen people come and be saved. We have seen lives begin to be changed. We see God's mighty hand upon many of the people who come here. We know that this stuff is possible. We know right now that right outside these doors, 60% of the people out there don't have hope. They don't understand what it's like to have grace and to have mercy. And they're not just random people, right? They're not random people. They're our friends. They're our next door neighbors. They're our coworkers. It's the people who live next door or across the street. And yet God has empowered us just as he did the disciples with the Holy Spirit. He has given us this incredible thing called the Holy Spirit, and it's supposed to take away our fear. It's supposed to give us courage to talk, right? Listen to what Timothy says. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. See, he called them and he equipped them with the Spirit, and then he empowered them, and then he sent them. So he's equipped us, right? We've been empowered with the same power, the same authority. And now it's time for us to go. You nervous? Yeah, so am I. I'm nervous about it. But I don't have to fear, because God says, he says, I've given you everything you need. And so let's talk about how he sustains us, right? He said to them, take nothing for your journey. What? No staff, no bag, no bread, no money. Do not have two tunics, and whatever house you enter, stay there from there depart. And wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. We know now, because we've got the Bible in front of us, that he was really equipping them for the ministry that was going to happen beyond his death. trial run, so to speak. A trial run. You guys remember the first time you got in the car without your parents sitting beside you? Remember that feeling? Huh? I see him. I get to pick Daniel up from school every day, and I see him. Thou shalt never turn thy head. I kid you not, man. There's times I see kids, man, driving, and there's like no blood in their hands. They're squeezing the wheel, don't I? And 4 miles an hour into the speed limit. That was crazy. And we've been there. We know that feeling. We know that feeling. We know those feelings the first time we step foot on our new job. All the uncertainty, all the fear. And yet Jesus, come here. I want to go. Cool. I'll just get a few things to take with me. I'll get my cell phone, right? No, what? Wait, what? I can take nothing with me? Not even my cell phone so I can follow the blue line? No gun, no sword, no pocket taser, no debit card? Nope. I want you to leave it all behind. I want you to fully trust me. I want you to trust me and the power and the authority that has been given to me that I am giving to you. I want you to rely on the Holy Spirit. I want you to rely upon his words and his strength and his action. Gospel of Luke tells us this. He says, don't worry about how to defend yourself or what to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what needs to be said. Did you hear what he said? Don't worry about how to defend yourself or what to say. The reason we struggle is because we're still trying to navigate it in our world. We just, for some reason, don't want to let go and surrender to the Spirit. You want to know a secret? You guys want to know a secret? You can't tell anybody, okay? All right, everybody lean in. No, seriously, lean in. Because I'm going to whisper. I don't want everybody to hear this. I don't want everybody to hear this. Here's the thing. When God sends us out into the mission field, the battle is his. It's not ours. Right? The battle is his. Does that help you to give you confidence that we can stand up and do the thing that he's called to do? Because he says, don't worry, because I'll defend you and I will give you the words to say. And at that time, I will teach you what needs to be said. All we have to do is just, here's that word. Trust. All we have to do is trust. We have to trust. We have to submit to him. Because unless we submit him, unless we fully submit to what he's calling us to do, we will inevitably try to guide. We will try to steer. We will stick our fingers in it. Amen? We do. That's what we do. I found this quote. And I said this. It says, the hardest part about moving forward is leaving something behind. And it's usually part of ourselves. Amen. Amen. The hardest part about things is us leaving us out of the equation. You see, right now on Sunday nights, Tony and I, we have this class where we're equipping people to have conversations. Are you a part of it? Are you part of what's going on? I mean, we're talking about how the Bible says this in 1 Peter. It says, but your hearts are set apart for Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do it with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ will be ashamed. Surely, not surely, 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 if Moses can stand before Pharaoh as a man who cannot speak, then each of us is capable of standing before our neighbor. If Elijah can stand before the priest of Baal by himself and then taunt them, shouldn't we have the same courage? If Paul can stand before Gentiles and kings and testify to what God's grace is, surely we can invite our neighbor to church. After all, we know them. You see, there's a difference between going and talking about going. There's a difference between being involved and being committed. You guys know that? Can I give you an example? Bacon and eggs. The hen is involved. The pig is committed. The hen is involved. The pig is dressed up so he can hide. I'm not saying we should go sacrifice ourselves in our neighbor's backyard. I'm not saying that. But out of our love for them and out of our love for people and out of our love for Jesus, we should at least having the conversations. You know why this is so hard for us beyond our trust, control? We like to try to control things, don't we? Do we trust him? Or I should say, it's the control part, but we have to learn to trust him like we're in the wilderness with nothing to eat and no water. We have to learn to trust him like we're in the boat in the middle of the storm and he's the one that can calm the seas. To trust him that he would not ask us to do anything that would bring harm to us. Because he loved us enough that he gave his life for us. Let us trust in him to sustain us, not just our physical needs, but in all aspects of our life. Let's trust him when he says go. Finally, I want to talk about the commitment. He says, then they departed and went through the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Jesus says, man, you really got to learn to trust me. The one thing that did you guys see the one thing in here that's really not defined in here? It talks about Jesus says there's a sense of urgency. He called them, he talked to them, they left. It was pretty dang immediate. And he gave them instructions. Take nothing, go. Go and proclaim the kingdom of God. The most important thing that he sent them out to do was to proclaim the kingdom of God. To proclaim that God was at hand. Go back all the way back to when Nicodemus snuck up into the backside of Jesus' camp and was talking to him. Nicodemus was trying to mock him about crawling back in the womb. And Jesus said to him, I tell you the truth, that no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Are you guys born again? Have you seen the kingdom of God? Do you see the kingdom of God? You have a burden for others that you know that aren't going to heaven? Is there a sense of urgency knowing that there's sometimes a a suddenness associated with death? Well, for you guys in the military, or don't like anybody, you guys like war movies? Huh? Who likes war movies? I love war movies. I love the old ones. But I also love some of the new ones. There was a story called Hacksaw Ridge. You guys ever seen this movie, Hacksaw Ridge? About Desmond Doss. Desmond Doss was drafted, and then he said, he's a conscious objector, man. How can you go fight in the war if you're a conscious objector? He said, I'm not going to kill anybody. I'm not going to carry a gun. So they put him in the medics corps. He became a combat medic. And his story is about the Battle of Okinawa. And they head up this mountain in Okinawa, and they finally get up to the top. But once they get up to the Allies, get up to the top, man, they're just pelted with fire, and just all hell is raining down from the Japanese on top of these guys, man. And Desmond Doss is up there, and he's a medic, and it's his job to get them. And so, one by one, 75 times. He went and picked up a man, and he carried him to the edge of the mountain, and then he lowered him down by hand, 75 times. Over the course of this battle, over like I think it was like 10 days or something like that. Over the course of this, he was wounded 4 times, and he still went back, and he still went back, and he still went back. At one time, they pulled 17 pieces of shrapnel out of him, where he tried to kick a grenade away, and he kept going back, and he kept going back. 75 men. Part of the citation that Harry Truman read to him says this. It says, Private First Class Doss refused to seek cover and remained in a fire-swept area with many stricken, carrying them one by one to the edge of the escarpment when they were lowering him down by rope, only supported by his hands. He received 2 bronze stars with a V for Valor designation. He's the only conscientious objector in the history of this nation to receive the Congressional Medal of Honor. It was said that every trip that he made from the edge of that back to the fight, he said, Lord, just one more. Just one more, Lord. Just one more. Commitment. The disciples had heard the words of Jesus. They had headed out to proclaim the good news. The Bible says they went to villages and they preached the good news everywhere. And you know what I find amazing about this? It's not one time, I don't think I've read one time, where the Bible talks about how they actually shook the dust from their shoes. They went. And they talked and they preached. But that's them, right? What does it mean for us? It means we don't have to fear the words of the world. It means we can be just like the disciples because we have this spirit of a power and authority. It is God who is with us. If God who is with us, who can stand against us? Amen. Can I get an amen on that one? Heck yeah. If God is for us, who can be against us? Do we believe that he goes before us? Say yes. Yes. Tony, we're going to have to work on cue cards. Put a slide up there. Yes. Amen. I mean, these guys were going out, man. Knowing that God was going out before that, they're going out and they're killing it, man. They're crushing it. Folks is coming to know they're healing things. They didn't know Jesus was going to die. They didn't know that he was going to go to the cross for their sins and for our sins. And they didn't know that he was going to be buried and that he was going to rise again so that we could have eternal life and we could be sitting at the glory of the Lord. They didn't know all this. They didn't know that there was going to be a place of newness, new bodies, no more tears, no more pain, no more anguish, no more suffering. They didn't know all this. And yet they still went. Luke says this. When Jesus came back, he said, when Jesus came down, he says, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for this is why I was sent. I believe that the Lord has called us to go. And you know what the promise of that I have? The biggest promise of that I have, that it's okay for us to go, is God's word. God's word tells us. I love this passage. I love a lot of passages out of the Bible. But the Bible tells us, he says, everywhere your foot steps, I have already given this to you. Everywhere your foot steps, I have already given to you. And that's what the difference on being committed is, just knowing this. And that's what makes a difference. Tony, I'm going to start conclude right landing this. It's springtime. I love fishing. Then you know what, Tony? Not one person in here has yet asked me to go fishing with them. We don't have any fishermen in here. Or just nobody willing to ask me. I don't know if I'd ask me to go fishing either. But I love going fishing. I love the fact that we can go out and we can sit down. And you know what I've heard? I've heard that even the worst day fishing is better than the best day at work. Is that right? Huh? I believe that. I believe that I can sit by the river and I can sit there all day, not catch a thing, and still have a great day and not get discouraged. So if I'm becoming a fisher of men, you see where I'm going with this? I don't have to be discouraged. Jesus said, come with me, come. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He didn't say, come with me and every person you talk to is going to turn to me. Because that would be easy. But he did say, fish over there. Throw your nets over here. I've read that over the course of a lifetime, we run across 10,000 people. 10,000! Most of them we've already met. But there are those that we're going to meet. And what will we do when we meet them? How will we engage them? The words up here a few minutes ago said, show grace. How can we understand that I wrote it in here? I can't read my own handwriting sometimes. There are people out there right now who have never experienced God's grace and they've never experienced mercy. And they certainly haven't heard how Jesus cares for them. So maybe you're here today and you need to tell somebody about Jesus. Maybe you're here today and go, Tony, you can go ahead and start your... Maybe you're here today and maybe you've been led here. Maybe because there's something missing from your life. Maybe you can't quite put your finger on it, but you just don't feel it's complete. Maybe if you're listening to us today, if you're listening to us on Facebook, if you're listening to us on the radio, maybe you're just, there's something missing in your life. Maybe the peace that's missing is the Spirit of God which dwells within you, and you can only have it if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or how about the rest of us? Is the Spirit alive and well within us? Is it alive and well? If it's not, as praise team gets off on the song, allow God to use you. Allow God to...